Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. This is Techonomics, and my name is Jason Middleton. We're going to continue the conversation with James Rollins now, a New York Times best-selling author who created the Sigma Adventure Series. The newest installment of that series is titled Crucible. Now, that's a nod to Arthur Miller's play that, if you are of a certain age, you were required to read, if not perform, during your schooling. The book is about artificial intelligence, but there is a significant portion dedicated to the idea of fake news. Only that version of fake news was spawned, or at least enabled, by cheap printing of books, thanks to Meister Gutenberg. Now, sometimes it takes an outsider perspective to get a really good take on a topic that can seem too big to get the arms around. I think artificial intelligence qualifies for that. We will step into some Blade Runner references after the interview, which starts now. We're speaking with James Rollins. He is a best-selling author. His most recent effort is called Crucible, a thriller. Let's change gears real quick. Let's jump into our Wayback Machine, because the title, I think, is a little bit of a nod to Arthur Miller. But you went farther back, right, for an even more ancient text, if you will.
Yes, you know, Arthur Miller's The Crucible dealt with the Salem Witch Trials. This book deals with the fact that the Salem Witch Trials are just basically the final spasm of the great persecution of witches. For four centuries across Europe, there was a great pogrom against heretics and witches. 60,000 people were put to death during that period of time, a lot of them from the Spanish Inquisition, which is covered in this book. And so this book deals a lot with sort of the conflicted relationship between the Catholic Church and witches. At this point, most people think the Catholic Church has always been hunting witches, but prior to the 1400s, they weren't. They were accommodating witches just fine until the publication of this book called The Malleus Malefarcum, or The Hammer of Witches. It came out in the mid-1400s. Unfortunately, it came out the same time that the printing press was developed. So this Witch Hunter's Bible, this book that came out that basically detailed how to hunt witches, torture witches, and persecute witches, became mass-produced. And because it was mass-produced, it was distributed across Europe and over to the United States. And it's that one volume, mass-produced, that's considered to be one of the bloodiest books in human history, because it did lead directly to over 60,000 deaths.
Yeah.
So there's some mystery surrounding the production of that volume that appear in this book. There's some details about the relationship between the Catholic Church and witches in the past that's covered in this book, and it then extrapolates all the way to the present day, where even today we're still persecuting women in the sciences. They get less pay, oftentimes their work is denigrated. There's sexism going on. So even today, when it comes to women that are questioning the natural world, where in the past they were being burned at the stake, where there is still some persecution going on today.
And your books tend to recognize technological advancements like this, and the Gutenberg press can really be looked at as a spike of disruption and fake news.
Exactly. I mean, my goal, with this book is to show that, when the internet first came out, that it's going to be a great resource for, to bring greater knowledge to the world and making the world a smaller place, and we'll all be able to communicate and we'll be closer to each other. Well, we knew how that turned out.
Right, exactly.
So sometimes technology, which sounds good, like the printing press, can lead to surprisingly horrible turns of events.
Right, yeah. It's a reflection of humanity writ large. Social networking, Gutenberg, the whole thing. You're going to get a representation of a cross-section. There are good humans and there are really crappy humans, and they are well represented in these new technologies.
Exactly. That just reflects, again, all the way to AI today, is, it sounds like it could be a great boon, and there are the singletarians out there under the like Ray Kurzweil, that believe that when we reach this moment, it's going to be a great boon for humanity. It will do just what they thought the internet was going to do, but there's the other camp, like Hawking and Elon Musk, who believe, maybe not. This
yes.
may not be the boon that everybody's thinking it's going to be.
One of the advantages of such quick advancement in the last 10 years with social networking specifically, we've had 10 years of use cases that it doesn't always work out that way. And Kurzweil might be a polymath and a genius, but I do think that I agree with you that pumping the brakes, even Microsoft wants to do morality rails around AI as it develops. And it wants regulatory oversight on this. So I think we're all kind of like just coming out of the fake news phenomenon. I'm glad that our radars are up for this.
And that's the goal of this book, you know, I write to entertain. I'm going to do a roller coaster to hopefully keep you late at night turning pages. But ultimately, it's a cautionary tale. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, this is what's going on. I'm going to shine a light a little bit on it. I'm going to show you, you know, one path possibly out of this mess. Hopefully, because at the end, I do sort of have that what's true, what's not section where, you know, again, hopefully if there's anything that does concern you, you know, I'm going to leave you some breadcrumbs that you can pick up and follow if you like.
I have two more topics. Can you give me a couple of minutes?
Sure. Yeah, totally.
Thank you. I'd like to, speaking of the page turning, I'd like to turn to some of the question you search is the soul. And, you know, yep. recently we've had Altered Carbon, which was kind of a hit, and there was a stack and the sleeves. And then, of course, the girlfriend AI in Blade Runner 2049. The soul is something that science fiction seems to always grapple with. Where did you land on that?
Well, in this book, you know, we do see the you told me not to give you any spoilers.
Okay, you could spoil a little.
So there is a moment in time in this book where Eve diverges. You see sort of two sides of the coin. At the beginning of the book, Monk is flipping a coin. It goes all over to the end where you see two sides of Eve. You see what might happen if Eve does develop a soul and what might happen if she doesn't. And so in this book, you're going to see both sides of that coin.
Cool. Like I said, I'm halfway through. Thank you for holding back. But anyway, my last question would have to be like, okay, well, first of all, actually, it's two-parter. One is you spoke with 22 researchers and did interviews. What's kind of your method like when it comes to researching for this book? Time frame, chronology, collection of data. How do you start?
Well, again, I know when I start a novel, there's going to be a lag time between when I finish it and when it gets published. So knowing that, and I want to be as cutting edge as I can, you know, I try to read in as in-depth as I can. But you know, books are oftentimes that data is years old. Even that magazine article, those are generally information that's coming that's months old. So that's why I like to talk to people. I like to get these contacts. I have some contact with DARPA, which Sigma Force is sort of a covert operatives for DARPA. So they like me. So they tell me things that I probably shouldn't be telling me.
Right.
But I also oftentimes find leads to talk to different scientists. They'll make the introduction for me. And so I'll notoriously say, you know, I don't care what you published, you know, last month. You know, turn around, look over your shoulder. You know, what's on your lab table right now? You know, I want to know what you're doing immediately so that when I write about it, when my book comes out 6 months later, that information isn't already old. Mm. I want to try to be as current as I can.
Makes sense to me. I guess my last question would be, Mr. Rollins, did you disabuse yourself of any preconceptions around AI during your research and in the writing of the book?
Number one, it scared me. And I was not planning on necessarily doing my AI book today, this book. I thought I'd give myself a little more time to do the research until I found, you know, the fact that there's two AI researchers that believe we already crossed that threshold. Mm. And the scary things I was hearing, I thought, you know what, I better do that now because I may not have a chance to write this later.
Mr. Rollins, the new book is called Crucible. It's part of a series. Number one New York Times bestselling author. This has been my treat. Thank you so much for sharing your time.
Oh, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
That was James Rollins. His newest book examines how humanity will coexist with artificial intelligence in the future and what it means when machines and humans have souls. The thriller is titled Crucible. Blade Runner came up in that interview, so let's surface a quick take on the AI girlfriend from that flick named Joy.
Joy's a sort of ideal woman. They have a very complicated relationship because Kay is so isolated and alone.
I love you.
You don't have to say that.
I know. Joy is warm and sensitive, funny, sexy, someone easy to talk to. She really shows love.
They're coming after me.
I'm coming with you. I'm afraid.
When Stephen Hawking passed away, he said that artificial intelligence is most likely going to be the end of humankind. But can it be stopped? In Crucible, James Rollins comes up with an ingenious answer and one that mirrors our modern society. If humans are to coexist with AI, what do we need to do to ensure our survival? The answer lies in a much more complex question. What does it mean to have a soul? The book is a fantastic read, and I can highly recommend it. There are links to that book, Crucible, by Mr. Rollins and for Mr. Rollins, the sci-fi clips we used here, and other AI research. It's all in the show notes for the podcast, or you can get them online at KGORadio.com or also at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And I'm on Twitter at KGO Jason. Okay, wait a second. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, we have something called Brave New Work, how we can blow apart the way we do our regular jobs and still increase productivity, efficiency, and happiness. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please stick around for that.